Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So, just for a reminder, because, you know, I got a few days away and I got to spend a few days at the beach, which always, I know the answers to my problems are not there, but I always look anyway. And then I come back and I feel better. And so this time I got to go with my youngest daughter. And so on our first day of vacation, her idea of vacation was to go have a good, strong workout. And so we did, before breakfast. It was great. So I hadn't lifted weight in a while. And so for the rest of my trip, my back was very sore in my arms. I couldn't pick up a fork. So then we had to work out. You know, the second day she let me rest. Got some breakfast. It was bread too, I'm not gonna lie. And then the third day we work out again, but we had to do leg day because everything else was ruined, right? Why am I telling you all this? So I walked around through vacation sore, but you know what? I worked out again since then, and my back feels, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. And I haven't been lifting weight in a while, and so I was making an excuse because I had a knee problem, but my back has little to do with that. I'm gonna go ahead and I can find a way if there's a will. So I tell you all that because at the beginning of the year, we laid out a couple of things that we believed that God was speaking to us for the year, and it's kind of cool that my friend Jen is here this morning too, and she heard this once. She has her own church, but she came to see us. And I preached this message at your church, but it was about the four P's, and I've preached it here since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Four things that we're gonna follow this year or die trying. You know, we gotta set our face like flint. Until we see and hear the answer, like Jesse said in worship this morning, if you've never seen him answer a prayer, then you haven't prayed enough. Go back to your knees, go back to your prayer closet, go back to your prayer journal, go back to the word, because he is faithful. We're not faithful, I don't know if you knew that. We think we're faithful, and we think really highly of ourselves, good job. But we're not that faithful, and we're not that good. We're only good because he lives in us. We're good because he lives in us. And so those four P's are like your muscle memory. Because I know what happens when you don't work out in the spirit. You forget what we talked about. But when you do it a couple times, you get the strength of that muscle memory in you again, and then you can start to execute it again. So the first P is pursuing God. If we do anything in this life, it should be to pursue him. He has everything that we need. Every single thing we need for this life and for godliness, he owns it. And he puts it in the little old man you on purpose. Doesn't it make you wonder about the sanity of the Lord? That's why we talk about him having a reckless love. He just puts it in us, as careless as we can be with it. Pursue him. He has everything. The second thing was pray. Now that's a novel idea to speak of in church, to pray. How many of you prayed this morning before you got here? How many of you, couple hands, how many of you pray every day of your life and go stronger? And some of us do. Some of us have made a discipline of it. Even in the discipline of my 30 years, 30-something, it's been 40-something years now with the Lord. Wow. 40-something years with the Lord. And I have gone into places in prayer that I never even saw before. You know why? Because he always has another facet of himself to show me and to show you. And all I have to do is come hungry, and he will reveal it. This year I worked on something called breath prayers. They're just, we talked about it in one of the prayer sessions, but prayers, you know, where you just breathe in, Jesus, breathe out, healer. And you just start to breathe in like one or two words, I need your glory, whatever it is. I just started doing it like that. And it's me and him. Those are things I talk to him about. But I encourage you to do it. It's very intimate. The breath of God thing. So good. Pursue God. Pray. Third P is to become a people of God's presence. Do you remember that? Or are you still working on that? Becoming a people of God's presence. Because if you pray all day but your face doesn't know that you're saved, you did not pray enough. Okay? A people of God's presence exude kingdom authority. A people of God's presence walk in the light of hope that Christ in me is the hope of glory. The people of God's presence know when God is in the room and how to read it, and then act accordingly. Not perfectly. None of us do to it perfectly. That's why he's perfect. He's the Holy One. He's the perfect one. Not me, not you. But we become a people of his presence in the image of his likeness until he comes, right? The fourth thing was possessing what God gives. Possessing the land is the term, but possessing what God has given you. The land, you know, I mean, if you're not a farmer, then what is your land? What is the place that your foot touches, that every place your foot touches, he gave you? Possess it. It belongs to you. You walk in a kingdom authority. So pursuing God, praying, becoming a people of presence, and possessing the land. And so today, you know, in an attempt to become the people of God's presence, you know, there's only a handful of people who could even tell you guys this stuff and you would not be offended. You might even be offended if I say it. I don't know. But the name of the message today is the offensive gospel. Do you know what heresy is? You may know what that is. Heresy, it's, I've got the definition, but heresy is when something is laid out and taught and has an original intention and text and meaning, and it's spoken and it's observed and it's lived, and then somebody came along and changed it and said it a different way. Well, you know, Jesus didn't really die on a real cross, not a literal cross. And he didn't literally be scourged, unrecognizable on his body. That's just, you know, that's just like the idea of what he would lay down. It's like, no, Jesus literally went to the cross, literally bled and died for sin. For your sin, for my sin, for sin. Sin separates us from God. And what's happened in our world, and the last time I spoke a few weeks back, I was talking about how in culture, and even in Christian culture, we create a Jesus that we need. A Jesus that we can get along with. And it might not be the Jesus of the Word, because Jesus in the Word is powerful. I want everything from you, Savior. I want your soul. You think the devil wants your soul? Jesus wants it infinitely more. He wants to be in communion with you. He wants to do life with you and have a fellowship with you, that you can hear him speaking to you. Go this direction, go that. Don't go there and don't do that. And then you respond in like manner. I'm not my will, but your will. Whatever you have for me. But Christians and Christianity, you know, in the beginning we were named that because we acted like Jesus. It was a little town called Antioch, and we were called Little Christs. Those are the Little Christ. Why? They act like him. They do what he says. They do what he does. They look like him. How do you feel about the church today and about your own personal walk today? Do you look like him, sound like him, walk like him, talk like him? Now, I'm not saying lose your whole personality, get a lobotomy, and forget everything. That's ridiculous. Nobody's saying that. That's the devil that whispers in the ear on the other side. The truth is that when you come alongside the Word of God and you let it penetrate your heart and you let it define you, your life is better than it ever was on your own, with your own little goals and your own little intention, your own little personality. Everything that you have in there came from him. It's just a huge facet. You know, every little facet of a diamond, every way that you turn it looks a little different. God has so many facets. As a matter of fact, I heard somebody say this. Every one of us, every one of you, and myself included, and our name and who we are in our existence, we are the word of the Lord, spoken once. And it was that valuable. And he made your whole life, named you, set you where you are, the word of the Lord, spoken once. That's poetic. I like it, though. I dig that kind of a thought about Jesus, about the king. So heresy is when we're not saying it right, guys. And if there's anything I don't want at the end of my walk, at the end of my service to God, I don't want your blood on my hands. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yay.
Amen. I'm going to tell you just the same way that he tells me, because there's a lot of times, the more that we walk with God, the more we begin to understand what God is saying and what the world is saying. Or what God is saying and what Christians are saying. What is God saying and what are people saying? And the more time you spend looking at him and looking for him and being in his presence, the easier it is to decide the difference. Like the world tells you, do whatever feels good. Just go do whatever feels good. And sometimes Christians will say that, though. You know, I even heard Stephen Furtick, who I happen to like. It doesn't have to feel bad if it's God. And it doesn't. That's true. So you take a little bit of the truth of that, and then just go do whatever you want and party, party, party on, like it's 1999. That's not the intention of it. Yeah, is there liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is? Absolutely. Under the guise of everything else that the Scripture tells us. There's not liberty to be outside of Scripture. There's not liberty to live beyond what Scripture says. So you look at all the things that are in culture today. And look, I am a lover of people. And I've said this a bazillion times. I'm going to start with this little story. It's like, you know, I have someone that I know who leads a homosexual life, okay? Married to her wife. And I like her. I have affection for her. I like her a lot. She's my family. And something came along where, but do I believe that homosexuality and homosexual marriage is ordained by God? No, I don't, because I read the Bible. You know, and it's very clear in the Bible. There's no mistake. I've even looked when I've been challenged on this by other people close to me. I've even looked, and there is no mistake about God's intention. He said it in the garden. He did it on purpose. So whatever I believe doesn't even matter, because it's what he says. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm not going to live past what the Word says. I'm not going to do it for anybody. I'd rather offend people than God.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, am I going to intentionally stand up here and have a sign? Hey, everybody who's gay, burn in hell. No. God forbid. That's disgusting. That's the opposite of reconciliation. That broadens the chasm between us and them.
Right.
How is anybody ever going to know the goodness of God unless we go?
That's
into
right.
Dark places.
That's right.
How's anybody ever going to see?
Yeah.
It has to be self-controlled and love. We're bound by this word that he gives us. And we also have every liberty by it. We're not responsible for what God said, but we are responsible to walk it out as his ambassadors. You feel that?
Yeah.
Isn't that fun for Saturday or Sunday morning? It's like, come on, Jesus, what else do you want to talk about? How about sex? If we talked about what we think is okay and what we do. And I'm not the biggest hypocrite in the world standing here, because me and my husband, I mean, got jiggy with it way before we said I do. Did God still love me? Yes. Did I miss out on the goodness of what God was trying to do in my life? Yeah. Until I got to the place of repentance. And I got to the place where I was like, okay, God, whatever you want. Not my will, but your will. Was that hard? Yeah, it was hard because the force runs strong in our family. Okay? But what we did, we separated just for as long as we could. And we're finally like, let's go to the justice of the peace. This is never going to happen. You know? Let's go. And we did it. Can I be any more honest this morning? Jesus is the only judge that we answer to. It's not our job to be rulers and judges over people. Over people in the church? Yeah. Senior leaders and apostles and people who are at the top, yeah, they should judge the church and see what's going on with this leadership. But every one of us, me and you, we're not each other's judge. We are each other's minister of reconciliation.
That's right.
What's my job?
To train us.
My job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry according to Ephesians 4. What's your job? So you do your job. That's good. Your job and my job is reconciliation, to reconcile people to Christ. It's not going to happen with eyes up and down and judging people.
Right.
It's going to happen with kindness.
Come on now.
The kindness of God leads men to repentance.
Yeah.
And I just want to be clear, because sometimes people think, you know, that we're a unity church up in here. Because I've said these things about, if my family comes in here, do not make them feel awkward and don't give them the eye. You put your arm around them just like you would anybody else, and you tell them how good God is. And you give them a testimony of your life, and you demonstrate the power of worship, and you speak life. That's the way that opens up the path. Now, this has caused a lot of ruckus in my family, you know. A lot of little distance, which I despise. But what I did is I posted something about how God can free you and set you on a path that is incredible, that leads you into a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And it was a pastor who had come out of the homosexual lifestyle, is now a pastor, married, has some kids. And she's just a powerful lady, speaking truth. And I posted something that she put. And so the questions of the world start to be, are you saying that God didn't set this person in my life? No, I'm not saying anything like that. I believe believe God puts people in our lives all the time, but I don't think that he meant for her to sleep with her. I think that she came in to be her friend and to support her and to get close. And she had something in her life that the other one needed, and it was going to be tangible and powerful and great. And it got perverted because we get drawn in by our own evil desires and enticed. Because that's how sin gets conceived. The world says, God wants me to be happy. Where does God say that? God wants you to be obedient.
All right.
Yeah.
Even if it's a cross. We want you to be happy. People want you to be happy. Especially our little kids and grandkids, man. I want them to be happy. I want them to have so much joy. I want them walking around this planet with everything. And especially if you didn't have a lot growing up. Then you want your kids to have everything growing up. And so then they have 300 toys and 200 articles of clothing. And their parents are like, please stop. I'm like, I don't know. That's not God's thing. God doesn't want you materialistic. He knows that. He doesn't want any idol above himself. The way you look, the way you walk, what you wear, where you go, whatever. Look, I have a Louis Vuitton handbag. I love that thing. But if it was gone tomorrow, I would find something else at Target, and I would be okay. Do you see what I'm saying? God wants you to have things. He just doesn't want things to have you.
That's right.
Because your happiness comes from his joy. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not my joy is my strength. My own joy is my strength. See how dumb that is? So the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I do what makes the Lord have joy, I'm strong.
Yeah.
Let me read you a couple scriptures. Some people get in a, I'm not going to step in. You know, TJ's going to preach next week. If y'all wondered anything about how that man's mind works, don't miss it. It's going to be good. And it's kind of cool because I was reading his notes, and some of my notes are in his notes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bypass it and let you do it. How about that? See how good I am to you? I'm still good to you, dude. So the Bible is pretty clear about how we're supposed to live. I am going to hit the Ten Commandments real quick, though, but not like you are. Okay, so here's the thing. In Romans, it says this. Paul speaking, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God. I'm talking to you by the mercy of God. Can you get this? It's a merciful thing that I'm saying. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't follow the paths of this world. Don't do what the world does. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and what is the perfect will of God. And don't we want that?
Yes.
Isn't that what we're doing? That's what I'm doing here. Isn't that what we're doing? I want to know it, and I want to see it. And do I do that perfectly? No. I'm going to mess it up all the time. And so that's what repentance is for. But somehow we got real sloppy in the grace card, and we're just like, well, I'll just do it, and God will forgive me later. That's intentional sin. And that's a broken thing. That's a stronghold on your life. But I know someone stronger than a stronghold.
Right.
And his name is Jesus. And he never misses workout day or leg day. He's got it. He can carry it. He knows how to move things. He's a chain breaker, healer.
Yeah.
We have to get real close to him so that we can hear how to get the chain off. Here's why the word of God is offensive. It's offensive even to us. Because it's like holding up a mirror when you have pepper in your teeth. All right? It's like holding up a mirror when your hair is... Christine came up here to help me. But I just washed this thing and went to bed. This is what you get. And so it's not perfect every time. And when you look in the mirror, it tells you where the imperfections are. And you fix what you can and you live with the rest. The word of God is a mirror to your soul, to the way you live and the way that you conduct yourself and the way that you are. And it's not a big mystery. By the mercy of God, I'm showing you this stuff. This is the way to get to it. To not be offended is to live under the obedience of what Scripture says. Let's listen to Peter. Peter is one of my favorite guys because he is known for saying the wrong thing. And I don't know if I said this to the other day, but I was like, you try talking as much as I do and not say the wrong thing. I say the right thing all the time. I don't mean to. My heart is to say the right thing. But sometimes, in all the multitude of words, it doesn't come out perfectly right. And then repentance. too. All right? Listen to how Peter talks. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of dispersion of Pontus and all these other places. He says, to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification, being set apart, being promised to God of the Spirit, for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace to you, and peace be multiplied. When they start with that, you should brace yourself. Okay? This is getting ready to be some truth that you can swallow or spit out, and just take little bits of it, as much as you can digest, and let it become part of who you are. He says, blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now in this you greatly rejoice. Of course you do. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Has anybody been grieved by various trials? I won't even look, just you know. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Those things have been preached, the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit and sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look upon. I can paraphrase really quickly and tell you that what he's talking about is when you're going through something hard and devastating, the angels look at you and wonder, how are they sustained? The Holy Spirit must live inside of them. It must be incredible to look upon their lives and see how they go through trial after trial after trial like fire, to come forward like gold. That's how you look in the Spirit when you come through a fire and a trial. You look golden to God, to the angels that look upon and go, wow.
Yeah. So good.
Verse 13. Because of all that, gird up your loins. In your mind, gird up your thoughts. Start thinking about the right stuff. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. You mean I can't drink? Jesus had wine. Hey, you can drink. Just be sober. Don't be drunk. Don't be a fool and carry the name of Jesus around.
That's right.
If you need deliverance, it's right here. We got you. Come see us after. That was for free. Okay. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lust, as in your ignorance, when you didn't know better. When I was living with my husband, but I didn't know there was a power of God to transform me, right? Didn't know better, but I don't go back to that.
Yeah.
I keep losing my place. As in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, then here's the thing. You also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Do you know who said that? God. All the way back in Exodus, when he's telling Moses how to lay it out for the people. And he tells them over and over again, you want to know? This is what you're going to do. You're going to be holy, because I'm holy. And I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me, and we're going to be one flesh. That's going to work. And I'm going to be, Jesus prayed that. Just let me be in them, and them. Being you and you and me, and we're all like one. It's a huge mystery, but if we can have a mind that can gird up its loins and think about the right things and trust God to show us his goodness and his glory and how to live this life, we'll be one.
Yeah.
We're not God. He's God. We're in his image, we're in his likeness, we gird up our loins, we think about the right things, and we move in that direction. And if you, verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, we have one judge, conduct yourselves throughout the times of your stay here in fear. Your stay here on the earth, in case you didn't know. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, Jesus didn't pay for you with silver or gold or money. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without a blemish and without a spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God. You think you believe in God because you do it? His infinite mercy came on you and gave you an ability to see his transforming power. And he's the one who put light inside of your eyes that you might know the difference between dark and light.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Through him, you believe in him, who raised him, Jesus, from the dead and gave him Jesus' glory so that your faith and your hope are in God. Since you've been purified in your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of which God lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is like grass, we're only here for a minute. And all the glory of man is like the flowers in the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Just take a deep breath. It's a lot to ingest, I know. You know, the Apostle Peter, he wrote all this stuff when they were in Rome, and he even called it Babylon because it was a hard time, and there was sin in every direction, and men were corrupt, lovers of themselves, men with men, women with women. It was a big old mess. There was a lot of sin going on in every direction. Is that familiar?
Yeah.
And they had to live a life pure before God and holy, be called to holiness in the middle of that. And I'll tell you, this book was written, Peter was in Rome when he wrote this, and it was during the time of Nero's kingdom. Do you know what Nero did to Christians?
Yes.
Well, he hated them, had a disdain, had a real spirit of antichrist, and he'd hold these huge parties in his palace. He would take the people that bore the name of Jesus and put them on posts and light them on fire. And they would be the lights that people would walk through to this grand party. And Peter's saying, be holy. You might die. Be holy anyway. This is the times that God calls us to. And you think, it's impossible. You guys, can you for a minute, when we're just sitting here with a little conviction, doesn't it feel so good? Doesn't it remind you that you're alive?
Yeah.
That God can speak to you? You're still among the living. You're not some little dweeb floating around in a doom scroll. You can't look up from their phone. You actually can feel the presence and power of God in this room. I know you can, because I can.
Yeah.
You can feel it. It's convicting. It's compelling. And God's calling us to places way beyond where we're living right now. And it's important that we step from here up to there, because we have a lot of stuff to do in the day that we live in. I'm just going to blast through the Ten Commandments real quick, just to show you how the word is a mirror that is painful and it's effective. Because you think, if you read it just in the Old Testament way, and the first couple of commandments are even about God, you know, what do they say? Love the Lord your God. And him only shall you serve. That's number one. And everybody just goes, yep, I got that one. Yep. What else do you serve? I'm going to tell you what, we're made to be worshipers, and we worship stuff. Somebody said one time, what does every chair in your living room face? And I'm like, the television. Now that could be an idol, you know.
Yep.
Thing might need to come down for a while, right? What do you serve? You'll know by if you look at your checkbook. If you're serving God, you'll know by how much money you give to the kingdom of God. If you're serving yourself, you'll know by how much money you give to yourself. You don't know that because where your treasure is, your heart is.
That's right.
Go, just stick on number one until you get that. I'm a firm believer. Stick on one until you get it. Right? It's a mirror. It's supposed to be. It's intended to offend you. Because if you never get offended, you're always going to think you're good. And you're never going to need a savior. You need a savior. I need a savior. And the word teaches me that. And I receive it. Okay. I hear you. Do I have to do it perfectly? No. Should I try to? Yes. Number two. Don't make any idols. Go back to reference one. Where do you spend your time? What do you spend your time doing? What is your life about? What are the contents of your life about? And is God before everything? Is he first? Is he foremost in your life? Number three, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And maybe, you know, I'm okay if people say a cuss word around me. Believe me, I've said them all. And before my redemption, I could probably say I'm better than everybody. But if somebody says God with the other word, I'll be like, oh, did you want to have a religious service? Because you start talking about the things that God damns, you're in big trouble, friend. You know, I had somebody want to read my aura on my tarot cards walking down a path one day, and I was like, you don't want that. You don't want that in your life. It will make you depressed for the rest of your days, but let me read yours. It's about Jesus.
That's right.
He's powerful. That's what you're drawn to me because of Jesus. You know, you just talk like that.
Yeah.
You find a way. But I didn't take his name in vain. That would be like, you're going to do a wedding, right? That'd be like, you take his name. I don't know if you're going to do that. We'll talk about everything. But you take his name and then you don't be his wife. That would be taking his name in vain.
Yeah.
Right? When you take the name of Jesus and Christian, live up to it.
Yeah.
Crucify the flesh. Stop watching porn.
Yeah.
Stop doing the thing that you do. Stop saying the words that you know you're not supposed to say.
Yeah.
Stop cheating.
All right.
Stop accusing. Stop being a gossip. Well, I can pray and I can read the Bible, but if I spit on the ground, grass will never grow there again from all the other stuff I said. Stop. Don't take his name in vain. You think it just meant don't say the cuss word? It doesn't mean that. It's very deep. How many got one, two, and three down? Because you're going to pray for everybody at the end. Okay. I mean, sometimes we do have, sometimes we do grow in our spirit. I get that. What's the fourth thing to say? Remember the Sabbath day. I'm remembering this because I can't find it in my notes. Is that right?
Yes.
Remember the Sabbath day. Thank you, Tammy. Look at that. And keep it holy. Well, sometimes I come to church. What does it mean to remember the Sabbath day? It means you're not supposed to work on that day. You're supposed to set a Sabbath day aside and honor God and think about him and pray and don't work. Don't do anything that would distract you from the Sabbath day of rest. It's a day to rest yourself. Because if you don't rest yourself, you're going to be really crabby. And all work and no play makes you a dull individual. There has to be rest, right?
Yeah.
Rest is sacred. It's holy. And you're not supposed to just remember it. You're supposed to keep it holy by observing it. Check?
Okay.
Number five. This is the first one that comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother. Man, you don't know my father and mother. It doesn't matter. He does. And he said it. Be holy in the middle of it all. Honor your father and mother that you might have a long life on this earth. He gives the promise with it. You could find a way. Look, even if you're estranged, even if they've already gone to the grave and God wants to do something in you, you do it.
Yeah.
Write the letters. I don't know. Whatever he speaks to you. But honor your father and mother that you get a long life. We need you here. Next one, do not steal. That doesn't just mean when you're a little kid and you go pick up a candy bar and exit without paying for it and that thrill of teenagerdom, okay? That's ridiculous. It's about everything. Have you ever stole someone's idea or credit? Have you ever took a place in line that you shouldn't have? I mean, we do it. We're human beings. We're not perfect. Only he's perfect. But he gives us this as a mirror for us to look at for our lives and to expound upon these things that we might be able to take them into our heart. And you know the rest. Don't murder. Jesus said it. kill anybody. Anybody got any assassins in here? No? Oh, just TJ? Okay. No, we don't have any murderers in here. But that goes way past. It says do not murder, you know? Do you ever think about killing somebody in your head? And if you've never even been angry, it even goes that far when Jesus is saying it. If you even call your brother a fool or you thought somebody was foolish, you're guilty. Do not commit adultery. Yeah, we're pretty good on that one. Are we? Jesus said if you even look at somebody with lust, you're guilty. And then you know how far Jesus goes? If you do that, if your eye is offending you and causing you to walk in a way you shouldn't be walking, pluck it out. It's better to enter heaven maimed than go into hell whole.
Yeah, right.
If your right hand offends you,
cut it off.
Cut it off. What? That is some radical God stuff that we're talking. He's calling us to be more than we are. That's why when we read this stuff, it seems way up there. It is way up there. But you know what? You ascend. You ascend to him and he comes to you. It's the deep that calls to the deep. And you pursue God and you become a people of God's presence. I'm almost done. I think. I already read all this stuff. Here's a good one. Psalm 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who even wants to go there? I do. Where he is, that's where I want to be. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from God is his salvation, of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Who can ascend the hill? Clean hands, pure heart. Just keep them open all the time. That's one thing about my friend Angie. I never have to wonder what she's doing because she's going to tell me on Facebook hourly. And you know why she doesn't? Addiction lifestyle broken, accountability mastered. Well done. Clean hands, pure heart. Only Jesus can open the scrolls. Remember that? Only Jesus is holy enough to obtain all the things we're talking about here today. But the gospel is offensive, and it should be, rightly so. In the last days, in 2 Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. And they're coming, harder and faster than they ever have in my lifetime, at least. I've always seen war. I've always seen, you know, we can go all the way back to the Great Depression in our country. And you can see people have struggled and had hard times. Some of our generations have never seen hard times.
Nope.
They don't even know what it means. So when COVID comes and you can't get 20 flavors of whatever, everybody's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, figure it out. Be resourceful, you know? I had 5 TV channels.
Right.
So it's like, figure it out, right? Perilous times. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Turn these people away. You can stand up with me. I feel like I drowned you guys into the back of your seats this morning. I love it, because I know that's when the Holy Spirit is moving and talking, and I wanted to read some of this. Some of these vocals from these lyrics from a song that we sing around here. I'm going to end with this. And I just want, if you would you just close your eyes? And first of all, repentance is a cure, people. So if you can say, God, this stuff is checking me left and right. Have you ever gotten on the floor so low and just been like, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I didn't live my life worthy of your name. Because I've done it, man, and I'm doing it lately. I'm so sorry that I can't reach what you need me to reach. And when I repent like that, and I mean it with truth, he comes and gets in the middle. And he speaks life and forgiveness. And come here, daughter. I I've got you, and it's going to be okay. Don't walk that way anymore. First of all, make repentance. You and God. It's all that matters right now. Don't matter who's on either side. You and Him. Repentance first. Secondly, if you're calling me to holiness, God, and obviously you are, show me your glory. I can walk in it. I can't do it by myself. And you know God loves that kind of a prayer because God loves His glory.
Yeah.
Repentance, show me your glory. Show me how to walk in this. Listen to these words. It says, this is to the Lord. You've got thunder in your vocals. You've got flames in your eyes. You've got wonder-working power pouring out of your side. Check the tomb all the way through. The grave is empty inside. Can no other pull the greatest miracle of all time? You've got power. Demons cower when they hear your name called. You've got power that still towers, makes a lion feel small. You've got power to devour any counterfeit roar. Even your tongue is a sword. You are the Lord. You are holy. And it goes on and on and on. This is such a great song. You are the Lord, and you're holy. Father, I just ask you to land on our spirit this morning in the way that you know how to do. Gentle like a dove, but with all the intention of a serpent, God. Show us how to move about this planet. That's your instruction. Be harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Show us how to live according to your will and your way. That your kingdom would come on this earth, God, and that we might be your ambassadors. That we might cross a line, a threshold from this earth to your kingdom one day and hear, good job, faithful servant, well done. Father, help us to know you. Help us to live without any defilement, God. Show us how to come clean and stay clean in your presence that we might be the ambassador of reconciliation to the next person for your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys, thanks for your attention today and your time. If you need some further prayer and you want to go through some things, I'll be here. Have some others come up and pray with you. If you need some prayer, I don't want you to leave here with a message that's weighty like that without help. If you change welcome, we got that too. Otherwise, have a great week. I love you a lot. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org. Or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.